What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know if you're on your way into, going to the ball drop. I saw a couple people already lined up on the news as I was flipping through the channels earlier this morning. Like, I'll never understand that. Like, and I know this is everybody's take. I've yet to meet someone who's like, oh yeah, bucket list item. Gotta go to Times Square for New Year's Eve one of these years. Like, Thanksgiving Day parade. Sure. I know a couple people that's become a family tradition for them. Although that would not be my thing either. But to go down and have to go there at this point in time, and you know they were interviewing some guy, and he was wearing, you know, they're wearing diapers because they understand that there's no going to the bathroom. Like, it's just like, who wants to go stand in Times Square in the freezing cold and go to the bathroom in their pants? Like, I can't imagine like signing up for that. Like, if that's what I had to do for some odd reason, I got stuck there. I had to go pick somebody up from somewhere and I got stuck somewhere, or I don't know, something. I had to do it on a game show. But who would volunteer to go stand in Times Square for upwards of 12 hours, more than that, in a diaper while probably consuming alcohol, which I don't want to presume anybody in the audience has done that before, but you typically, once you break the seal, you go to the bathroom a lot. Who the hell wants to stand in Times Square and pee their pants? Like, to see a ball drop? When you could just be at someone's house at a house party, warm in your house with your family or whomever. I'll never understand. Even if you're a tourist who comes to New York to do it, because I imagine that's what it is. It's not really a New York crowd, I would think. That's what I'm told. I don't know what kind of crowd it is, because I would never in a million years be there. But there are people who go there. I mean, that's insane. It's insane. Nico, have you ever been to Times Square on New Year's Eve?
There is a negative percent chance that I will do that.
I mean, that's everyone's answer. There's very few things in this world. I mean, listen, we all know it. I could say the sky is blue. I'll get four calls that go, well, not when it's sunset. Like, you know, that's how the world works. But I've yet to meet someone who goes, oh, I love it. I stand there in my adult diapers. You know, I have a backpack full of peach schnapps and champagne. I wear all the garb they give out. You know, I still have my collection of, Planet Fitness hats and scarves that they give out every year. And, you know, it's the best. It's absolutely the best. And then, you know, driving home in my soiled pants, there's nothing better than that. I mean, I'll never understand it. But people do it. People love it. People love it. New Year's Eve is one of those, when you were in your 20s, right? When you were in your 20s, and the night before Thanksgiving was the big out night, and then obviously New Year's, and it never matched what it was supposed to be. It never matched what it was supposed to be. It was never as good. It was such a lot of hype for that night. And then you realize that New Year's Eve, it's amateur hour, especially when you get into your early 20s, you are the amateur of the hour. But when you get a little bit older, it's just filled with, like, young kids. And New Year's Eve was always one of those nights you dreaded going out because there was a lot of hype for it. It's supposed to be this big party. And then it's always like kind of crap. And now it's like maybe you have a house party. I am going to a neighbor's house tonight. You know, kids will stay up late. They'll get a kick out of that. We'll all have champagne. And it's like, I'll see you guys next year. That's what it's become. But Those are the two big going out nights. Let me tell you a quick story, too, because it just reminded me. It's also a great night, possibly. I went to a wedding on New Year's Eve, and it was a great wedding, and it was a lot of fun. And it was a wedding New Year's Eve combined. It was fun. There was no expectation of like it being anything other than a wedding, but it was New Year's Eve. We all toasted at midnight. It was a great time. That's a good idea. And my wife still gets mad at me. There are a few times where I can remember daggers, like from my wife, where I knew I said the wrong thing, did the wrong thing, where I just got the look. And one of the most memorable ones, and it was before we were even married, we were at a catering hall during the process of looking for one for our wedding. And they offered Thanksgiving Eve at like a quarter of the price. They were like, you know, you could always do Wednesday Thanksgiving Eve. Everybody's off the next day. Family's usually in town. And I was like, and they were like, and it's a, you know, it's like 70% off. I was like, that's a great idea. I looked at Sarah and I was like, I'm in. And like the dagger I got, me and the gentleman who was helping us both were like, oh, geez, that's not a good idea. I was like, that's a great idea. Thanksgiving Eve, everyone's the next day's Thanksgiving. It's great. Everyone's home. Everyone's off. Right? It's not like a normal Wednesday where people got to work on Thursday. Everybody's off. Everybody's usually, all the people who we love who are out of state would be home most likely. Like, she wasn't into it. I still think it was a great idea. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Rob and Edison. What's up, Rob?
Hey, Chris. How you doing, man?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Listen, man, I don't want to argue with you, but I want you to see my side of the view about why the Giants should win this game.
Okay.
If they lost to the Colts last year like you wanted them to, mm-hmm. do you realize their quarterback today would be Cameron Ward?
Yeah. I'm okay and with that.
How great did the draft work out last year when you were begging them to lose to the Colts?
Yeah.
Carter's going to be terrific, even though after a slow start, he's coming on. And I love Jackson Dart. So I just think this draft order that you keep talking about is very, very overrated.
And so is your fourth win in week 17, or week 18, by the way, because that means let me just say this, though, because it is a different situation. I'm not even looking for a player. I'm looking for the opportunity to draft a ton of players and get more draft picks. And yes, last year, no doubt, it happened to work out for the Giants. They ended up getting Carter and Jackson Dart by trading up into the first round, and it worked out beautifully. Do you know right now they could have the best quarterback in the NFL if Tommy DeVito didn't beat the Green Bay Packers or beat the New England Patriots? They could have Drake May in year two right now. With as much as I love Jackson Dart, Drake May could win the MVP, and he could have been a Giant. Daniels took the Washington Commanders to the NFC Championship game last year. Either one of those quarterbacks could have been leading the Giants already. We could be knee-deep into a playoff run or, you know, a season heading to the playoffs right now.
Do you know what's really going to turn around this franchise? It's not a couple of extra draft picks.
Okay.
It's hiring a guy like Ben Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
So we need our Ben Johnson. That's
right.
going to change
what makes
this
the, what
franchise
makes the,
around.
And what makes that more appealing to a coach like
Ben
Johnson?
The job's already attractive, Chris.
No, it's not as attractive as having the second overall pick and having the ability to get a bunch of different picks as opposed to the seventh pick. It's still attractive. I agree with you. It's more attractive. There's nothing – and again, all you're doing – is giving me reasons why losing the game isn't that beneficial. Give me one where winning the game is. We always measure, well, look what happened in the draft last year, or look at this, or look at that, or who cares about the draft is overrated. Why? I would tell you it's less overrated than the fourth win in week 18 of the season. That means absolutely nothing. I can give you circumstances. Sure, you came up with last year. You want to say, and first of all, I'll argue with you all day as the day is long that drafting Cam Ward would have been some disaster. I watch Cam Ward play. I don't know about you. I know they haven't won. They fired the coach on him. He's got as little talent as Jackson Dart has, and Jackson Dart has had a better first year. I like Jackson Dart a lot. Watch Cameron Ward. I think he puts the ball, he's extremely accurate. I think he's played very well. I'm not down on Cam Ward at all. Like I like the idea that they got Jackson Dart and Abdul Carter. I'm not saying that. But we talk about it like you could have had Cam Ward. I think Cam Ward's going to be a good quarterback in this league. But all right, yeah, sure. Last year the draft worked in their favor, sure. The year before that it was a disaster. Like, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But when you call the draft a crapshoot, here's the problem I have with it. We enter into the draft and talk as if, well, you could get someone later. All right, so like, just why draft a quarterback? I mean, we could just get just take any quarterback at the last pick in the draft. It'll work out like it worked out for the 49ers. Or the idea that you go into the draft and you believe that it's okay to go into it with the mentality of the people in front of us are stupid. The people in front of us will make mistakes, and we're better off waiting in the wings and having that the better player fall back to us and get lucky. Like, that's not how it works. One, your team still has to be smart enough to pick the right guy. Guess what? In all honesty, the person who recognized Jackson Dart as the right guy got fired after the Chicago Bear game. So he's not with the organization anymore. The guy who really made that decision, now Joe Shane gets credit for it because his name's general manager and he's the one who hands in the card, so he gets credit for it. But the person who recognized that Jackson Dart was the right person to pick, he's outside the organization. He's not with them anymore. So I don't like going into drafts making the assumption that the other people in front of me are stupid and that I'll be the beneficiary because I'm smart enough to take control of their stupidity. Like, it just doesn't work that way. I want as good a pick as I can in every single round. And this year in particular, they're going to get a haul for that first or second pick. They're going to get nothing for the seventh pick. Kellen in Rockland. What's up, Kellen?
Hey, C-Mac. How's it going?
Hey, what's up, buddy? Good. How are you?
Not much. Happy, healthy to you and your family, and congrats on the new spot.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. Same to you and yours, brother.
Thank you. Thank you. I just want to say I couldn't agree with you more. This draft is not about, you know, getting this first or second pick and drafting a quarterback. It's about getting as many draft picks as you can get in return.
Mm-hmm. Yep. This year, next year, whatever. Like, many ways to fill out this roster behind this young quarterback as you can get. Like, you just have to. And this is a little bit different than just, you know, the idea of me screaming it to the wind and knowing that it has no impact because the players won't play. The Cowboys are handling a game a certain way. So should the Giants. Mike Kafka's come out and said they're going to play it like, you know, any other game. They're going to go out and try and win. They're going to play their players. There is no reason Dexter Lawrence should be in the second half of this game. There's no reason that Burns should even be in the second half of this game. There's no reason.
100%, and you lead me right into my point. I think that tanking has. I'm a big proponent of tanking. If you know, if you're getting a fourth win in week 18, that does nothing for you.
Nothing. So not with a new coach coming.
So you think? So Chris, let me ask you this: what division do the Giants play in?
Hold on, let me check. I believe it's the NFC East.
That's right. And what division do the Cowboys play in?
The same one.
Okay. So there you go. There you have it. Okay. Do you think that maybe the Cowboys...
Well, you've just made your
maybe
point.
Maybe the Cowboys... you see where I'm going with this?
No, not really. Go ahead. I'm not sure anybody does, but okay. Please, by all means.
All right. So you don't think that the Cowboys are thinking about the Giants winning this game,
right?
Bumps them down to potentially the seventh pick. Mm-hmm. And that benefits them as division rivals in the long run, instead of having, you know, the first or second overall pick and getting, you know, a bunch of picks in return for that pick.
Kellen, I appreciate it, and I understand your point. I think the idea of the Dallas Cowboys concerning themselves with the New York Giants do is laughable. I wish we had that kind of rivalry. It has been foot to ass for 10 years. I don't think the Dallas Cowboys concern themselves at all with what the New York Giants do. I really don't. I don't think Jerry Jones is sitting up there with some devious plan to screw the New York Giants. I think that's the least of his concerns. Now he can be petty at times, as all of us can, but I don't think that's it. And I appreciate that you even have that instilled in you as a Giant fan, because I can't even imagine any team concerning themselves with what we do. That's how bad it's been. I don't think they're doing that. I think they're doing it for them. I think they recognize that he gets hurt. I think they recognize that there's nothing to this game. I think they recognize what we recognize, that it's a meaningless game, and I'm not going to risk either draft status or injury status to win some meaningless game. And I just hate that we have to do it again back-to-back weeks to this level. Bull and Maple Shade. What's up, Bull and Maple Shade? That's very colorful. I like that. What's up?
Hey, congratulations, C-Mac. Can't wait to hear you on your new spot.
I appreciate that, Bull. I'm looking forward to it myself.
Now, imagine your scenario with Andy Dufresne.
Yes.
And you're crawling through that crap.
Yes.
And you're located in the armpit of the state, South Jersey, surrounded by scumbag Eagle fans.
Okay.
That is my life. And I actually have to agree with that last caller, C-Mac. Do you remember when that classless Howie Roseman did exactly that?
Yes.
Concerned himself with the Giants.
Yes.
Threw the game, tanked it, and now they have Devontae Smith. Do you think they remember that Roseman was classless, or they're happy that they got Devontae Smith?
Yeah, I mean, I think, but wasn't that, they had to trade up to get Devontae Smith, didn't they? Didn't they trade up with the Cowboys to get him?
They were in that position because they tanked that game against the Giants.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess. I mean, they were behind the Giants, though.
They tanked that game against
against the Washington, right, yes.
Right, they did exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't want to hear about the tanking. You're 100% right. We need as many draft picks as we can get to build off what we have right now. Complete agreement with
you. Yeah, I mean, I again, this is what bothers me, or what really needs to be understood, is that's what we're hanging on to. Like, that's the light at the end of the tunnel of this miserable season, that they could change their franchise with a big haul for a top pick. That's what's needed. They need something. And that something isn't a win against the Cowboys. I'm just saying. And I know we talk about this a lot. And again, they're going to play. I'm just saying the Giants need to treat this game differently. I was thinking about it. You know, Jerry asked me several times in the morning, what are you going to do, not play the players? And I was like, no, I understand. I mean, the Raiders did, but no, I understand. The Giants need to not play their players. Plain and simple. The Giants need to not play their players. Jackson Dart does not need to play this whole game. I know it's going to kill him. I understand that. But you know what? He doesn't need to play the whole game. If there's anybody, these were the guys missing at practice today. Wandell Robinson didn't practice with a rib injury. Theo Johnson didn't practice because of illness. Same thing for Abdul Carter. Like, if they're hurt, and again, Dexter Lawrence has been dealing with an injury all year with his elbow. Like, if there's an issue, they don't need to play. They don't need to play in this game. Securing this loss, unfortunately, now has become the most important thing of this season. And I know nobody does. I know people don't like it. And I'm sure Jackson Dart is, if he's watching, you know, if he ends up watching this clip the way he liked my previous clip, he's probably going to dislike this one. He's like, the fat guy got it wrong this time. I was with you, Chubbs, but not this one. I got to play and we got to win. I was with you when you said the organization didn't trust me, but now I'm not so sure. And I get it. But I'm just telling you, if they come out of this with the 7th overall pick, it is going to be such a disheartening feeling heading into the new year, because, again, I think Joe Shane's staying. So they had a miserable dead season. They were the first team eliminated from the playoffs. They fired their coach. The interim head coach was a disaster. They need a completely different staff, and they're going to keep the same lousy GM. And I have no real confidence in them making the right decision with the head coach. The only thing I knew for sure, like, everything else is up for grabs, right? Everything else is up for grabs. Are they going to are they going to hire the right coach? Up for grabs. I have no idea. They have not been able to do it since Tom Coughlin. Every coach worse than the next. I have no faith that this organization, especially, you know, with everything that the Mara family and John Mara specifically is dealing with his health, Joe Shane leading the search. Like, I have no faith they're going to hire the right head coach. It's still up for grabs whether or not Jackson Dart is a franchise leading quarterback. I think he's got immense talent, But I don't know for sure. I'm very confident in it, and there's nobody else I'd rather have. I wouldn't trade him for anybody. I wouldn't even trade him for Joe Burrow. I truly wouldn't. I feel good about him, but I don't know that's up for grabs. The rest of this roster up for grabs, whether or not, you know, the only thing that we can secure is the op, and believe me, they will be able to make a trade. Maybe it's not as lucrative a trade as I'm thinking, or that we've seen for other quarterbacks or other high draft picks, but they're going to be able to make some kind of trade from that two position to move up and draft a quarterback. I feel very confident about it. Every year it happens. The first couple picks go off the board, it's a quarterback. If they need more to come out, I don't see why he wouldn't. Next year's quarterback class is going to be much more ballyhooed, much more, several more quarterbacks in it. I'm sure he's confident in his skills and that he thinks he would have a great year again next year, but he's going to be the second pick if he comes out. How much, like, you're going to hold out 1 year in hopes that you just move up one slot with Arch Manning and several other high-profile quarterbacks coming out next year? I'm starting to think he's going to come out, especially if he plays well here. And the Giants will be able to get it. That's the one thing that the Giants can secure, the ability to get a bunch of draft picks to help this team. Are they going to hire the right coach? Are they going to make the right moves in free agency? What's going on with ownership right now, unfortunately? Like, so much is unsettled in this franchise. Can you give me the one thing that could make me feel good about moving forward and the idea that they're going to be in the catbird position come April? Can you do that instead of having, like, the next time they go play the Cowboys next year, whenever that first game is, going, they're 1-22 against the Cowboys in their last 23 games. But do remember, last year was because Dak sat the entire second half. Like, I don't need that. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. Be right back.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
I was thinking if there's any distinct songs that are New Year's Eve type songs. I don't know. I can't think of any that are distinct New Year's Eve type songs, but you know, traditions have been a thing that have been we've been talking about a little bit recently. I was listening to Jerry and Willie the other day, and he was talking about a tradition that he has on New Year's Eve that the first person in the house on New Year's has to be a man. And I've never heard of that one before. The Jerry and the rest of the morning show didn't hear it either. Fleegs didn't know it. I've never heard that. And they had a bunch of callers call in. Apparently it's like an old Scottish tradition where, it has to be a tall, dark stranger has to be the first person into your house. I've never heard of that tradition on New Year's Day ever, but apparently that's the thing. Marash just tweeted out something that I always thought was mine and mine alone. I've never referenced it. I've never talked to anybody about it. And it's not a New Year's thing necessarily, but those royal, I forget the name, I'm going to look at the picture now. Do you remember those butter cookies that came in the blue tin? And it was like, there was a round one, a rectangle one, a pretzel looking one, a circle one with a hole in the middle. Like, and they all had like the little hard pellets of like hard sugar on it, crystallized kind of hard sugar on it. That like tin of those butter cookies from a million years ago. Apparently, my house wasn't the only one that turned that into like thread and needles for sewing. That's what my mother had it under her bed for years, that same tin of cookies. And Marash just tweeted out that's, cookies for one day and, thread and needles for the rest of your life. And I'm like, I thought that was mine and mine alone. I never knew that people actually use that tin for the same purpose. Who came up with that? How did that go from person to person, like that exact same cookie tin? That is so odd to me that that is like used by other people for the same exact purpose. Who, where was the meeting that said, this is what we're going to use the tin for when we're done with the cookies? No, not old photos, you know, not a place to, I don't know, whatever. Keep your, you know, your bay leaves that you're going to dry out, your oregano you're going to dry out, whatever. No. We're going to put sewing needles and thread in there. Like, who had that meeting? Who decided that? That is fascinating to me. And a million people are tweeting us saying, yeah, no, same thing. I don't know where that tradition. The only tradition we had on New Year's Eve, even around New Year's, was after midnight. I don't know if anybody does this, but my mother takes, I don't know if she still does it. I can't think if we still do it. And I usually, unfortunately, don't, you know, we go out to party with the kids. We haven't probably been with my mother on New Year's Eve in a while. She would take like a bucket of boiling water. Now, for some reason, as I'm saying it, maybe it was just regular water, but I feel like it was in a pot. So for some reason, I have it as boiling water, but it might just be regular water in a pot. But you throw it out the door on after midnight on New Year's Eve. You take a pot of water, whether it's boiling or not, and you throw it out the door. I remember that tradition as a kid. I don't know if anybody else did that on New Year's Eve. Where you, I don't know if it's a symbolization of getting everything bad out, you know, just throw the water out the door. I don't know. But I remember that. And then for a meal on New Year's Day, there is a New Year's Day meal. Christmas Day has always been just a rotation of different things. But New Year's Day has always been roast pork in my house with like sauerkraut and maybe applesauce. Like that was like, that would be what you dip the roast pork in or use a little bit to have with the roast pork. But it's always like a big hunk of, you know, dry roast pork. That's kind of what has always been the New Year's Day and New Year's Eve tradition, as well as the greatest television marathons of all time. Right? New Year's Eve always had the Twilight Zone. I wonder if they're still doing that. I got to check it out. The worst by far is Christmas Eve. The idea that A Christmas Story runs on two channels for like a total of 2 days over and over again is absurd. It's absurd. It is one of the more like asinine things perpetrated on the American people in our culture that still exists. The idea that they still make us watch a Christmas movie, A Christmas Story, Ralphie eating the soap and the dogs knocking over the table and the turkey. The idea that I could watch that 13 or 14 different times on two channels over the course of a day and a half is absurd to me. It's absurd. But the Twilight Zone, now we're talking. And then I remember as a kid, Channel 11 used to have The Honeymooners. I think that was also, right? Wasn't that also New Year's Eve? Or New Year's Day was the Honeymooners Marathon and the Twilight Zone Marathon. And I was trying to think of what other, like, are there any more, what would be an adaptation, a new TV show that you could do for a tradition of a marathon? Now, I'm a huge 24 guy. I would love if they did a 24 marathon. That would be, I would love to see that. That's, to me, and it's a perfect show, too, to do a 24 marathon. Do that on New Year's Eve. I'm in. I'll watch. I'm trying to think of other shows. It's got to be running forever. The Simpsons clearly has been running long enough, right? Since 1989, The Simpsons have been running. It's crazy. Something like that. So you could obviously do a Simpsons marathon. You could go through the whole, you could do it for the whole week and still have episodes. But what would be a good TV show to add to the tradition of marathons on New Year's Day and New Year's Eve? Because as much as I love The Honeymooners, it's getting to the point where, you know, nobody alive was still around for when it was, you know. I'm going to get callers. I used to watch, I've been watching the Giants since Y.A. Tittle. Now I can get callers. I've been celebrating New Year's Eve since I watched The Honeymooners live. I knew Jackie Gleason. He used to go to the same delicatessen I went to. But I think it's time. I would love to see a new TV show marathon. If you have any suggestions, 888-808-1019 or any weird traditions on New Year's. I don't know, but I've never heard of that one that Willie had. Never heard that in my life, that someone else, like, it had to be a man walk through the door of your house as the first person every New Year. I've never heard of that. And I believe McMonagall is Scottish. And I have no idea. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Let's get to Moose in Jamaica. What's up, Moose?
First things first, Chris.
I pop a freak all the honeys.
What's good, bro? How are you? Happy New Year early.
Happy New Year, Moose.
I'm gonna get to the Giants, but I first have to drop this bomb on you. This is a dun-dun-dun Pete game. I don't understand for the life of me, anytime on the radio or in the news or in conversation, somebody mentions they want to wear an adult diaper to do the New Year's thing. Listen, my brother was developmentally disabled, right, growing up as a kid. By the time he was 10, 11 years old, he was in a wheelchair, couldn't use a bathroom by himself. Mm-hmm. So like 98% of the time, my mom would help him use a bathroom, change him. He wore a diaper. But the two times my mom wasn't there teaching or running errands, I'd have to change them, clean them, you name them. I'm like 12, 13, 14 years old. So for the life of me, I don't understand why people will wear a diaper. Every time I hear it, I die of laughter, cracking up, crying, rolling on the floor. But at the same time, I'm the type of dude that wants to do skydiving, bungee cord diving. I want to do the thing. Oh. So I have my quirks too. So I guess to each their own,
each their own, and I'm with you. I would love to do stuff like that. Yeah. And you know, I'm self-deprecating. Here's the honest to God truth. I'm too fat to jump out of a plane. That's when you know you need to change, right? New Year's Eve is coming up. I'm going to be, you know, we'll see. I got to maybe be on TV a little bit. I'm going to have to lose some weight. Everyone's knocking me on the videos. I literally, because it's a tandem jump, your first jump, I am too fat to fall. So when that's the case, you really have to reconsider. But I would love to jump out of a plane. Always been one of the things. Like, that's a bucket list item for me. Like, jump out of a plane. That would be awesome. And I could understand people who would have that as an item, or people who think it's crazy. Speaking of Jerry, I've been talking about, I did the morning with Jerry. I remember one time I did the mornings with Jerry, was talking to Jerry, and we were talking somehow going into outer space came up, and he has no interest in whatsoever. Like, man, that would be, if I, you know, that's on the bucket list. I would love to go into outer space. I can't imagine someone who wouldn't want to go into outer space. I don't care if it's 10 minutes, you know, zoom around, see the sun, see the earth from outside it, and come right back down. I'm in. How the hell would you not want to go into outer space? And I would love to jump out of a plane. I'm working on it. I've been saying that joke for years. I'm too fat to fall. But yes, it's true. I would love to do. But the Times Square thing, that is not a bucket list item. That just is not a bucket list item. But some of those, like, who wouldn't want to go into outer space? I'll never understand that. I remember being just completely floored when Jerry said that. And then a lot of people that I brought it up with, like, the next day with a bunch of whoever I was talking to the next day, because I could not believe someone would not want to go into outer space. And I met a lot of resistance. Nah, you crazy? I wouldn't do that. Like, I mean, I guess there's the fear of dying, I suppose. Outside of that, like, if you knew you were going to make it, why would you? Who wouldn't want to go into outer space and see the earth from outside of it? Oh. Like, I can't imagine someone not wanting to see that. That's hard to imagine. John in Bayonne. What's up, John?
I'm glad you're going to be the afternoon, because today I'm thinking to myself, is this a night show? Because these people, Giant fans, did the ball drop already? Are they having the juice already? Are they crazy? What you said today made a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. With the Dallas Cowboys back then, it's nice to bump them out of the playoffs. Yeah. You know, we have a lot of rivalry against them. Okay, but now you're talking about the number two pick. Number one, it could be better draft picks. But number two is you could get the best second player, not a quarterback, but the second best player.
If that comes with the draft, then it would really
Yes.
No. You're right. Theoretically, you're right. Worst case scenario, if you do not get the haul that you're looking for, if the second quarterback doesn't come out, or there isn't a second quarterback in the draft that the teams are willing to pay a big price for, at the very least, if you have the number two pick, you are getting the best player in the draft, the best non-quarterback. And that, and he will be, that player is going to be better than Mendoza overall, probably, so you're getting the best player in the draft. Worst comes to worse, if you can't find the haul, which I would still be looking for, I would be looking to trade out. I would not be looking to take the second best player in the draft. I wouldn't be. I would be looking to move out and get a bunch of picks, and I would hope I would find a taker who'd be willing to give me what I want for that pick. But you're right, worst comes to worst, you get the best non-quarterback in the draft. At least Joe Shane's opinion of the best non-quarterback in the draft. And that alone, again, that alone is better than beating the Cowboys in week 18 when they're not going to take the game seriously. And yeah, no, that guy was trying to, you know what? I am pissed about that. I'm pissed about that. I'm pissed that guy called up and tried to get me on some technicality BS and called me hypocritical. It wasn't hypocritical at all. I laid out a set of circumstances where I may be willing to change my mind on the tanking because I'm a pretty staunch tanker. I believe very much that, you know, it's better to lose the game at this point. I don't go into people think I go into, or, you know, tankers would go, people who believe in tanking would go into a season thinking, well, I can't win a championship, better off losing. No, 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 no. I go into every year with hoping I'm wrong about the team if I don't think it's a very good team. I've seen bad teams get hot, win games early, and become good teams and buy in. Like, I believe in momentum during a season. I don't believe it carries through an off season. But I believe good teams can become great with a couple of early wins. I believe great teams can become bad with a couple of early losses. Like, I believe that you can have momentum inside the NFL season. And I go into every year with the hope that the Giants are good and will battle for a playoff spot. And then if it's like, if they're at the end of the season and a win gets you in as the last playoff spot and a loss, you know, possibly could help you in the draft and send you down further the way the circumstances set up. No, no, no. I want to win and get in. I want to chase a championship as long as it's plausible. But once the season is dead, like it is now, I believe in losing very firmly. Even if it helps me move up one draft slot. For the most part, I'm going to be wanting to lose so I get the best pick available. That's how I look at it. NFL should change the rules, and we're going to talk about things that need to change in 26, and this is one of them. But yeah, if the Giants would have been in a position at the end of this season, because there was that one, the Cowboys beat the Eagles and the Chiefs back-to-back games, right? They beat the two last year's Super Bowl teams and suddenly were a trendy pick to get hot. The defense had settled itself. The offense had, you know, a really couple of good games, and, you know, Lamb and Pickens were as good a dual threat wide receiving core as any in the NFL. Like, there was this belief for a brief hot moment that the Cowboys could be a trendy pick to make a run through the rest of the season and get to a position where they could make it into the playoffs the last game of the year by beating the Giants. And I did say at that point, I would be open to the idea of getting off my tanking if it meant sending the Cowboys home, if it meant ruining their season, if it meant turning them, a win turns them into a playoff hopeful and everybody's talking about a trendy pick to the Super Bowl, or sending them home and securing that they don't get back to the NFC Championship game since 1993 or whatever it was, like 95. Yeah. I might have been willing to buck the trend of my staunch tanking to send the Cowboys home. But that's not the situation we're in. In fact, it's the opposite. The Cowboys are showing no interest in winning the game. So the Giants should absolutely reciprocate and show no freaking interest in the game. So I'm not hypocritical, and don't try and turn me into one. Stick with the fat jokes. I have no return for that. Hirsch in Valley Stream. What's up, Hirsch?
Mac, do you know how many times as a kid I accidentally ate a sewing needle or a coat button? I got to tell you.
So this was a thing that it's particular, that yeah. blue tin.
Yes.
Where did that
from
start?
From Denmark, Denmark cookies. It just started. I don't know. I mean, I'm a lot older than you, but I mean, 1978, I had my first sewing needle. So yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a thing.
That's amazing to me.
Yeah, oh no, it's very common. And as far as you hit it on the head with this Times Square thing. Like, the idea of standing for 10 hours with anybody in a pair of pee-pee pants that's freezing to see a ball drop.
That's crazy.
Like, it's a great, you know what it is? It's a great punishment to finishing last right. in your fantasy football league.
That's actually really funny. No, that's actually really funny. They have all these things where you got to go to like IHOP and eat a pancake every hour,
right,
or you have to go to a bar and have a drink every hour, or some nonsense, and stay for 24 hours, or you knock an hour off for every pancake or drink you have, whatever. No doubt.
Yes.
Finishing in last place in your fantasy league means you have to go to Times Square for New Year's Eve is an excellent punishment. And people do it for fun. That's
people
crazy.
People do it. Now, for me, like, I have a lot of great friends. I'm married. I have three kids. There's not anyone in my life that I'd want to spend 10 hours standing next to in the freezing cold. Like, what do you say to each other? Like, I just peed. Oh, me too.
Yeah.
Like, what else do you talk about?
Yeah, no.
Ridiculous.
Right, exactly. Did you have to eat asparagus before you came, Tim? Like, you know, yeah. Like, I don't know what. It's just, like, I don't get it. I don't get it. And it's not even just necessarily the company. Yes, you're right. There's nobody that I would want to do that with, mainly because I don't want to do it. But it's not necessarily the company. Like, there's like the weather and every, like, if it were July and there were bathrooms readily available, then okay, I would hang out in Times Square, then, you know, go use the bathroom somewhere and come back and hang out and stand and wait for this thing. And, you know, a lot of it is because they want to get on camera, I guess. You know, they want Ryan Seacrest to interview them or whatever, whoever's doing the New Year's Eve thing now or whatever. You know, there's multiple broadcasts of it, I suppose. I don't know. But yeah, I just, that's so funny. It is. I'm actually, as I just won my fantasy football league with my hometown buddies and none of them can take it, they're all very upset. They're all very upset because they had this over on me. Because obviously, you know, not that, you know, they're all, you know, good guys and I've known them forever and loved them forever. I'm blessed to have such a group of friends that we still talk to every day. You know, for the most part, we're in a group chat and typically there's something said every day. And I feel very blessed to have those friends. But, you know, they're a little, the idea, and I've never been good in the fantasy league. If for whatever reason, I've been one of the worst, like year in and year out, I've struggled in this league. So they've had that on me. Yo, Mr. Big Sports Guy, you know, we're all better fantasy players than you. And so this year I won, and they're all having a real tough time with it. So I've had to be extremely arrogant. And, you know me, that's very difficult for me to be very arrogant. But that I'm actually considering proposing that for a last place finisher. If you lose you have to go. Now, one of my buddies is a police officer. I think he's working it this year. Or he's worked it in the past. So maybe he shouldn't have, that would be a bad punishment for him because I'm sure he could work a way around it. But yeah, that is actually a really good idea. If you finish last in your fantasy, you have to go to Times Square for New Year's. It's brilliant. John in Denville. What's up, John?
Hey, C-Mac. Happy New Year. I was the guy that called up on Monday when you were with Jerry, and I said that I bet the Giants money line for the win-win situation. And you said that you wish that you did that. Well, here we go. Giants, I saw that they were plus 158 when you started your show.
They're plus 158 right now? I think there is going
to
be some
more
than that.
Well, that's when you started this show. Who knows? It might be down to 150 by now. But
you
get the point. And you were sorry that you didn't do the emotional hedge. So I'm just calling you just to remind you.
No, they
get
are
in
still,
now, buddy.
They are still plus 158 money line. You're right. That's not a terrible idea. That is not a terrible idea. Ben in Connecticut. What's up, Ben?
C-Mac, congrats on the new gig, man. We're all excited for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I want to talk a little Ranger hockey, if you give me a minute here. I don't know if you saw any of the game.
I saw some of the first period, and then the show kind of started, and I had it on, but I haven't. I saw that they lost 6-3. I'm assuming it was 3-2 in the third, so I'm assuming that some empty netters at the end to make it look worse, but I'm sure it wasn't a great game.
No, and so here's what changed the game. It was 1-1, actually. And in the second, Wilson comes in and crushes, you know, Ranger rookie Noah Laba. As he's laying on the ice, the center ice, he can't even get up. Wilson scores. Then, you know, the Rangers, whatever, they end up taking a penalty, and then the Caps scored again to make it 3-1. But after the game, and this is what I'm calling about, Trocheck said something very interesting in the post game. He said, He basically called out his teammates for not turning up the physicality. He said, I think there's a lot more physicality from some of the guys in this dressing room that we could see after something like that. And the reason, and listen, if it was one time, that would be one thing. But 5 years ago, Tom Wilson pulled the same thing on Panarin. Right. And I'm not one of these guys who wants to go back to the 80s. And I'm not saying that, like, we need a big enforcer. Yeah. I'm saying that we need team toughness. OK, if you watch the Panthers play hockey all over the ice, whether it's Matthew Tkachuk or Sam Bennett or these other crazy guys they have, like, they just have massive team toughness. And when a game gets physical, as it always does in the playoffs, they are not scared of anybody. And we just kind of look like Lafreniere and some of these guys out there who and Zibanejad and Panarin, like, they just don't want any part of it. They want stick-checking games where it's like there's a lot of open ice. Like, when games get grindy and physical, we just, like, it's almost like we have no chance. A game starts going in that direction, and I said to my brother, I'm watching with him, I said, here we go. You know, it's this kind of game, and we don't like this kind of game, so we're going to get crushed now.
Ben, I think you're preaching to the choir. I think even the Rangers recognize it. You said Trocheck said something. I think Chris Drury at times has even recognized, I don't know what he's done to necessarily change it, but it has been a problem for this organization dating back multiple coaches, multiple years, multiple playoff runs. When these games go that, they are not physical. They are not a physical team, right? A couple years ago when they won the President's Trophy and they were the best team in the NHL, or at least point-wise, what were they, right? They were a special teams team. They scored a ton of goals on the penalty. They weren't good 5-on-5, and they got into a rough, drag-em-out fight of a series, and they don't play that kind of hockey. There is no doubt about it, the toughness of this Ranger team, and right now, the toughness in the building, the toughness at home, there. I think there is something to be said about a team that doesn't play well at home. Like, I think there is it goes beyond just the flukiness of it. Like, there is a tough mentality of, we will not allow this in our building. And I know they've been great on the road to even it out on some level, as they are now 19-18-5. But there's something to be said about a team that doesn't play well at home consistently. It's a mental toughness issue. One, either just the toughness of allowing it and not saying, this is our building, we're not going to allow this, or the idea of it weighs on them and they play poorly because it's a mental issue for them now. They know they don't play well home, and so then when they get at home, the everything tightens up for them. But there is no doubt about it. When the game becomes physical, when you get into these long drag-em-out series by games 5 or 6, and you know what each other do, and it comes down to just want, and it comes down to a physical natured game, and the whistles lighten up, like, it has been a real problem for the Rangers. There is no doubt about it. That's the kind of, when you have, like you said, when Zibanejad and the Breadman Panarin are your two best players, or have been traditionally, you know, or, and that's the kind of style of play, that's how you win games, and that's who you are. You get into a fight, and you don't have it. It has been a major problem with this team. There's no doubt about it. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. We come back, continue to take your calls. We'll continue to take your calls. We'll get into what needs to change. Two things specifically. Well, three, but one of them is just more for fun. A couple things. But things that need to change in 2026, as we're here on this New Year's Eve.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.